Dino here, excited to be on the phone with Doc Coyle, lead guitarist for Bad Wolves. How are you today?
I'm doing very well. We have a sunny day in Boise, Idaho, so no complaints.
Well, have you ever been to Tucson before? I guess that's the first question I want to ask you.
Yes, I've played the theater we're playing, the Rialto, probably 3 or 4 times.
Oh.
I was in a band called God Forbid for years, and so I would... You know, that was a regular stop. It's a great place to play.
Yeah, it is a really intimate theater, and people are going to get a nice up-close look at Bad Wolves. Why don't you tell us the history of Bad Wolves? How did you guys get together?
Well, most of us have known each other for a really long time. Tommy and Doc and myself have known each other going back to like 2003, 2004. But essentially, John quit Devil Driver. Right around the time I moved to L.A., so it was like 2014, and he started working on music, you know, and there was a bunch of different versions of songs, and I saw the whole process that he was putting it together, and I was doing stuff on the side, other bands, touring with other people, and he essentially linked up with Tommy, and they worked on some demos, and it started to really come together, and right around that time, they also needed another guitar player. And John was kind of hinting at having me join the band for a while, but the timing was just right. So this, we're talking around like 2016 time. And then Chris, other guitar player, had been playing with the band off and on for a while at that point. So it was the four of us. And then we shot the video for Learn to Live about a year and a half ago. And that day was when I spoke to my bass player, Kyle, he just called me to see what was going on. And I was like, hey, you know what? We need a bass player. You're going to come down. So that day was the first time all five band members were together. And subsequently, that music video, when it hit the streets, you know, everything kind of went crazy for us. You know, everyone was interested. We had a bunch of record label offers. And that was kind of the beginning of everything. But it was a very interesting process.
So how did Zoltan from Five Finger Death Punch get involved?
Well, it really, right around that same time, he was hanging out with Tommy, and Tommy showed him the music video, and he realized it was, oh, it's John Berkeley, it's Doc Coyle. He knew the guys in the band, and almost jokingly, Tommy, he's like, so who's managing the band? He's like, you are. And Zoltan had been looking to get involved, you know, on that side of the business. You know, that, you know, Zoltan is very business-oriented. He's someone is always thinking about things in a really big and ambitious way, and you know, he thought that the band had something special, and he was willing to kind of put the weight of his influence to help secure the band a record deal, to, you know, even though he manages the band, we also work under another management company, and really everything working together, I mean all of the success and everything's happened with the band, none of it would be possible without Zoltan.
Well, that's great. And yeah, and of course, they kind of took you under their wing, put you out on tour with them, got you exposed to a lot of their audience. And about a year ago, Tommy Vest, your singer, he kind of took over vocal duties for Ivan from Five Finger Death Punch when he had some personal issues on their European tour. At any point when you guys saw this happening, did you think that, man, if Ivan doesn't get better, is Tommy going to leave? And then where are we going to be?
We didn't really get too far down that rabbit hole. I mean, the truth is, that was just a big moment. And, you know, we were glad he could help them out and help them finish their tour. And obviously, it was all good for, you know, on our end, because it helped, you know, his name kind of got a little more exposure and it put a little light on the band. That was before the record was out. But, you know, honestly, I've done a lot of fill-in gigs myself. Like, I filled in for Lamb of God before. I filled in for Darkest Hour. I filled in for Trivium. So I know how that goes, you know, where something happens and you got to kind of step in and help your friends out. So that's really what it's about.
It's about covering someone's ass. It's about being a good bro. It's, you know, it's about being a professional.
Exactly. We've all been there, and I've been lucky enough to help some people out. I've been in bands where someone could make it. We've had to have someone help us out. So, you know, it's all, you know, listen, it's what the people in Five Finger Death Punch collectively, not beyond just even Zoltan, is beyond gracious and generous. And, you know, it's just incredible, because I think that kind of solidarity in the heavy music world, you know, I hope we see more of it, because I think if bigger bands put the olive branch down more and pull up some talented bands, I think you could see the success of Bad Wolves be you know, repeated in some, you know, as long as obviously as long as the talent is there, as long as the songs are there,
mm-hmm.
You know, because the truth is that's what they do in hip hop. You know, you see with, we didn't know who Eminem was until Dr. Dre found him. We didn't know who 50 Cent was until Eminem brought him. You know, it's like
right.
they do that thing in hip hop where they put people on, and I think they kind of did that for us. And I hopefully we can do it for the next band. We're kind of doing that with Diamante, who's on our label, who we have on the song Hear Me Now.
Yeah, you know, tell me a little bit about that. Yeah, tell me a little about that song and how that came about.
Well, we're label mates, and we were putting kind of the final touches on the record, and our team kind of felt like that song could probably benefit from another voice, and particularly a female voice. And Tommy, our singer, you know, basically, you know, had like seen her around and you know brought up the you know, to put it lightly, and then brought up the idea of her being on the song. And I think it, you know, her record just dropped now, so she's a brand new artist,
right?
In the grand scheme of things, so mm-hmm. the fact that this song is, I think it's top 20 active rock right now.
Mm-hmm.
So we got helped out by another band, and now we're helping
right.
her out and getting her some exposure. And I think, you know, hopefully that way of kind of paying it forward really is something that is more pervasive.
Tommy's like, man, I know this hot chick, and you guys are like, huh?
Well, right. I you said it, not me.
Well, hey, so of course you guys had a real big hit earlier this year with your cover of the Cranberry Zombie. It kind of became a little bit of a phenomenon, especially after the death of Cranberry's lead singer Dolores O'Riordan. She was supposed to actually do the duet with you guys. Take me through the thought process in continuing with the cover after her death.
Things kind of, it was like everything kind of stood still for a second. No one knew exactly what was going to happen. Obviously, it was a massive shock to the entire world.
Mm-hmm.
And our label owner and our UK label manager had a relationship with the band and with the family. And it basically came from the top down, the suggestion that to basically put the song out as a tribute and to donate the money to our family. And we were... It was kind of a point of relief, I think, for us to when that idea came up. Because like, okay, that's a way we can still put out, because the song even before she was going to sing on it, the song was going to be on the album,
right?
So it, you know, it but it obviously complicated a lot of things. So with us, it was so important to handle everything with care,
mm-hmm.
and to just ensure that we were doing the right things.
Yeah, doing
right
it justice.
And,
yeah.
Yes, and I think if you look at the music video and the way how we try to put the attention on her and her legacy and pay tribute to that song and the band and their legacy, and you can see it, man, when we play the song, how emotional it is. And I think a lot of, you know, that weight, you know, really has to do with honoring her legacy, and it, people feel it, you know, and it changed the context of the song.
Right.
You know, every day I play it live, that's what I think about. And I think people feel, you see it, people, they're crying. They're, you know, I don't think people used to react that way to that song, but it has a different weight to it now.
That's for sure. Now, how emotional was it for you guys when you presented Dolores' family with a check from the proceeds of the single?
It was very emotional. I mean, it was kind of a heavy day, to be honest with you. You know, we got to meet her son, her stepson, and her ex-husband, and you know, it's a very odd thing, because you're in a way connected by this thing that in a way had really nothing to do with each other before that,
mm-hmm.
but this thing kind of brings you together, you know. And I can really only speak on just how amazing they were, the fact that they welcomed us, and their acceptance is paramount. You know, it's the most important thing, the fact that the family supported this effort and the song, you know. And so honestly, it was tremendous, because you think about this idea of like, hey, we're going to give the money to the family, but it's one thing to have the idea, it's another thing to actually have a physical check. Obviously, that's not the real check,
right?
The,
yeah, like those big gigantic check, you know, but, prize checks, yeah.
But no. But the whole pomp and circumstance around it is, you know, it's all of a sudden it's like a real thing that's actually happening. There's a real number, and it, and you're like, wow, we're actually, this thing we did is affecting people's lives in a positive way. And it's tremendous. So it was amazing to do it in New York because I'm from New Jersey. Tommy's from New York. Mm-hmm. So we had a lot of close friends there. We had a lot of people from the record label there. So it was a very powerful moment, you know, and it's kind of crazy that a couple of guys playing drums and playing guitar, yelling on stage could actually have some kind of impact in a real world way. It's very, you know, I kind of diminish what we do because I think other people out there, people in the military, people, you know, doctors, teachers, they're doing, like, to me, like, real important stuff. So I kind of diminish what we do, but it's kind of crazy to have a moment like that when there is an impact that's tangible.
Yes, Bad Wolves, paying it forward, changing the lives of her family for sure in the foreseeable future. This is going to be a great benefit for them as they move on with the loss of their mom, basically. Now, let's get back to putting the focus on Bad Wolves here. Now, for those of the people here in Tucson, we call it the Dirty T, that have never seen Bad Wolves live, you need to check them out on YouTube. You guys are super heavy, despite maybe what you've heard on the radio. Is it important for you guys to kind of never lose that edge going forward?
I hope not. You know, our background for every guy in the band is heavy, is metal.
Right.
And to me, what I love about the band and what we were able to kind of accomplish with the final product on the album was that we covered a lot of ground. You know, it got super heavy, and then we also have a ballad or two on the record. And to me, that's what Pantera did. They would have, you know, Cemetery Gates, and then they would have Slaughtered.
Right.
You know, or Slipknot would have Vermillion, and then they would have, you know, People Equal S-H-I-T, if you know what I mean.
Right, right.
You know, and Metallica, like our favorite bands, and I think the biggest metal bands, or even the biggest rock bands, you look at how versatile the Beatles were, how versatile Led Zeppelin was, or Muse is one of my favorite modern bands.
Right.
They can have a dance, they can have a pop song, a classical song, and a dance song, and a metal song. So I love that idea of being able to do, you know, many things, and the fact that if we all of a sudden turn to not a heavy band or not a metal band, I think it would remove the identity. And one thing you can say about Bad Wolves is the band has a sound.
Right.
You know, not that many bands have a distinct sound like that band's sound. So going into this, you know, we're getting into work on the next record, you know, maintaining that integrity of that sound and that heaviness is very important. And I think it's, you know, and we love it from just the live standpoint of just,
mm-hmm.
there's something about that, the metal songs, the way they move, the way they get people going. It's like, it's very difficult to replace that. So no, we're not trying to change that anytime soon.
Yeah, well, you definitely hit on something there. That's definitely a calling card for all the ones that, you know, kind of rise above the fray, the sound. That is super important when you can, just, you know, when it stands out from everybody else, that's when you know you've got something special.
Yeah, no doubt.
Well, now, what should the Dirty T expect from the live Bad Wolves show coming up on Saturday at the Rialto Theater?
A lot of energy. You know, we take that, you know, I think at that show we'll probably play like a 45-minute set. We take that, you know, period of time during the day very seriously because that's why we're there. We're, you know, me, I'm pushing on 40, but I still got, you know, I gear everything I can physically around, you know, really bringing the energy to the show. And, you know, this is our first time playing there. So we realize this is, you know, the live show is where you can make a fan for life. You know, you imprint an experience on someone and hopefully they'll remember that forever.
Right.
And that's what it's about. It's about the connection. It's about meeting people. It's about just bringing it, you know. So you expect to be very sweaty and a lot of jumping and bouncing and yelling and screaming, and it's going to be great.
All right, everybody, Doc Coyle, lead guitar player for Bad Wolves. Go check out their new album, Disobey, and we'll see you on Saturday at the Rialto. Thanks for spending some time, man.
Of course. Thank you so much.